Hey, this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus no matter what you're going through today. And today you may be tending to wander in your life, but God wants you to experience His wonder. And a lot of us have a hard time finding it, but Jesus told us where it is. He showed us where to experience it. And today, Pastor Jason Turner is going to walk us through experiencing the wonder in loving others.
The bottom line that I want to have everyone understand or convince everyone of today is that we were created for community, created to live together with one another. Okay, so when I speak, I like to have a lot of interaction, a lot of participation. So when I ask a question, it's very rarely a rhetorical question because I love to have you guys engage with what's going on. So if you agree with me that you think we were created for community to live in groups of people together, raise your hand. All right. If you do not agree with me that we were created for community, you don't have to raise your hand. You just get to have me tell you, I told you so by the end of the message. No, I'm kidding. But I really do think that when we were created, when we were made as social people. We were created to live in community. But there's lots of different places where we try and find community. Where are some places that people try and find community at? Restaurant, good, yeah. Walmart, yes. Yeah, yes. I had a whole string of jokes that I could add on there, but I'm going to refrain, so that's all right. Some other places. Church, good, yeah. Facebook, definitely. Chick-fil-A, all right. Yeah, there's lots of different ways. There are whole doctor's office, okay, yeah. Communities are created in the workplace. If you're fans of certain sports team, there's communities created around that. Country clubs, there's all different ways that we try and get a sense of community. And if you guys were with us in these past 2 weeks, we've started a series on wonder and stepping into wonder. And last week we talked about how we experiencing God through wonder in here on Sunday mornings. And I was just thinking about that word wonder and where God displays his wonder. And we see God's wonder displayed all throughout creation. But in thinking about this passage we're going to look at, and thinking about creation, this is the first blank on your page. I feel like God displays wonder most clearly through people. God displays wonder most clearly through people. He has given us a desire to meet together with other people. And there's so much power in that. So much power that comes from meeting together with other people. I read a stat that kind of took me aback for a minute when I really thought about it. But the stat said that loneliness is as damaging to your mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Isn't that shocking? That loneliness is that harmful for us. You know, here at the Orchard Church, we are intentional about creating opportunities for people to love God, to love others, and to make disciples. We have created different environments for those different commands or instructions that Jesus gave to us. And you guys know our method is our mission. What we believe Jesus has told us to do, we provide specific environments for that. And you know, you remember this story. Matthew chapter 22 records the story of when the lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And this wasn't shocking. Jesus was a Jewish person, and in this context, Jesus quoted the Old Testament, the Shema, in saying that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And because Jesus was perfect, he definitely had this one up on me. He was asked what the greatest commandment was, but because he's Jesus, he decided to give two. And if you live a perfect life, I guess you can do that. So he added another one. And the second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he told us, he kind of explained who our neighbor was. But within those two commands, we at the Orchard Church, we want you guys to be able to see God radically transform your life and the life of other people around you. And we have created different environments. So last week, again, we talked about this setting in here on Sunday mornings, and we go all out to create a setting in here where you can fall in love with God. Our setting for loving others is our life groups. And I'm gonna be talking about community today because I want you guys to experience the spiritual growth that comes through connecting with other people in relationship. Loving others, next blank on your page, loving others means living in community. Loving others means living in community. I feel like that we can't grow spiritually unless we connect relationally. We can't grow spiritually unless we connect relationally. And guys, I think that that's why there's so much power behind Jesus' answer to what is the greatest commandment? Because then after Jesus says to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, he tells us this story. And you guys know the story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan and the story of connecting. And he asked him, who's our neighbor? Who loved this man like the neighbor? And the lawyer had to say the Samaritan. But see, that's the heartbeat of what God has been doing ever since eternity past. He has always lived in community, and that's what he wants for us as well. Now, I know that you guys might be thinking, man, you just don't understand how busy I am. I don't have enough time in my week. I mean, I work till 5 o'clock, and I have to watch the football game. And then, you know, I gotta take my boat to the lake, and then my kids have practice, and you know what, really, I can do this on my own. I really don't need anybody. And you know, relationships, they're not really for me, you know? It's kinda touchy-feely. People talk about how they feel, I don't know about that. And anyway, I'm smarter than all those people in those groups. Until you get ready to make that decision, and you know those big decisions that we have to make in life, until we step out and we try and make our decision in our own way, on our own, how does that usually end up for us? I can't speak for the rest of you, but when I try to make decisions outside of advice from my life group and my wife and other people, they tend to not work out so well. And you see, I think that this thought that we can live life on our own in a very individualistic kind of way, you know, I think that goes all the way back to the garden. I think it started there because it was God's desire always for us to live in community. Because, you know, God's always existed in community between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when he created us as the pinnacle of his creation, he created the stars, and he created the animals, and he created the plants. And he said that all of that was, he said it was good, right? He said it was good. God said all of this was good. But it wasn't until God created Adam and then Eve that he said it was very good. It was very good. But the serpent kind of picked up on that, and he whispered to Eve, did God really say that you can't eat? Did God really say? And isn't that kind of at the root of all of our temptations? Did God really say? What Satan was trying to do there, he's trying to drive a wedge in between Adam and Eve's relationship. Through distrust, through a break in the community that existed. Because before then, in the garden, Adam and Eve walked freely with God. They were together in relationship. But see, when the temptation was placed, when Satan tempted Eve and Adam right there with her to question God, he drove a wedge in that relationship. And you know, ever since then, we have been thinking that we can do this on our own too. And the root of that, I think, is questioning whether we want to follow God's way in community or we want to follow our own way and do life on our own. And guys, as a person, and we're all in the same boat here, so don't look at me like I'm funny. Well, I know I'm funny looking, but not on my own. So living a life this way, when we're looking out for ourselves, when we're wanting to live for ourselves, when we're wanting to be our own God, this is the path that leads to it's the path that leads to destruction. But man, the path of following God and getting back to being a restored child of God is really the path that leads to life. But see, this is where we are. This is where you and I were born. And this is no mystery. We've all known that we've done things in our lives that we regret. We've made mistakes. We've done things against people, and we've broken God's heart by breaking his law and wanting to live for ourselves. And because of that, because of our disobedience, because we've broken his heart by breaking his law, we deserve death. We deserve to be separated from him. And if you think about it, the punishment of separation is such a harsh punishment because it forces us to live alone for eternity. But see, that's what God did, because God wanted to restore the community that existed within the garden with us and him. Even though we were sinners, even though we followed our own way, we listened to the voice of Satan and the voice inside our heart that told us to step out on our own. He brought Jesus back to restore our relationship with him, to act as the bridge and to take on the punishment that you and I deserved. Because guys, when we commit treason against the king, what's the punishment? Come on. Okay, thank you. Four of you are awake. I'm so glad. So when we stand, Jesus chose to stand in that gap and to take the death punishment on our behalf so that we could continue and have that relationship restored with God, but also restored with one another. Guys, because I believe and I know, because this has happened in my life, that it is really hard to connect spiritually with God without connecting relationally with others. You cannot, it's really difficult to do things on your own. The Bible says that wise counsel gives us a head up. And I want to show everyone today, and I want to learn from the early church as we look how God blessed them as they lived in community. Acts chapter 2, let me give you guys a little context for what's going on here. So Jesus Christ had just committed the great sacrifice on our behalf. He had just been crucified, but he rose again on the third day to prove that his payment to God for our sins, for my sin and your sin, that it cleared our debt, that the payment was made in full. And he rose again on the third day, and he came back and he taught his disciples for 40 days, and then he had gone back up in heaven. And now all the disciples were together in Jerusalem, and here enters the first group of people who have chosen to follow Jesus. This gives us a pattern of what the early church looked like. Okay, Acts 2:42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now that's kind of similar to what we do in here. This is the pattern that they had, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So let's break this down. All the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Again, they were learning together. They were in a group learning together in community. And to fellowship. Fellowship. What's that word fellowship? When it first popped into your mind, what's the word fellowship? What do you think of? Sharing. Good. One more time. Cutting up. That's right. Having fun together, for sure. Eating, yeah, definitely. That's in there too. Sharing of meals, that's one of my favorite parts. Crying, yeah, they were doing life together. All of these things, everything that's included in your life, they were doing life together. Sharing in meals and to prayer. They were connecting with God together, learning together, cutting up, having fun, eating together, doing life together, and connecting with God together. Now, the next verse is going to show you a portion of the results of them sharing in community together. And here it is. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. A sense of awe. A sense of awe. When was the last time that you experienced a sense of awe? Just awe. Yeah, yeah. And this word awe, what word do we normally use with that word awesome? That's right, awesome. I used that word, I think, too flippantly, too repetitively, because when I really dug down to find out what this word really means, it's a sense of reverence and fear that happens when you approach something that's holy and that's bigger and that's so outside of you. It's much bigger than what we can see right here in front. It inspires those signs and wonders and just causes you to fall down on your knees. But why did that happen? Why did that happen with this group of people? We just saw it. They were learning together. They were living life together. Guys, the New Testament doesn't know anything of a Lone Ranger Christian. That is not a concept that Jesus Christ is familiar with at all. Okay? We were created for community. We were created for community, living life together. All the believers we see in verse 44, another characteristic, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. In true community, generosity and giving are hallmarks of true community. You guys know, those of you who have been in small, intentional life group communities, you're all about praying for one another, being in community, meeting other people's needs, reaching out to them. If somebody is getting ready to have a baby, they throw a baby shower for them. If someone is in need of food because they're getting ready to go in the hospital, that's the care team. That's where the true ministry takes place, in these communities. And then we'll see again, verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, and they met in their homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. You know, in my mind, as I'm reading through this, I just see, like, on Thanksgiving, you know, you go to grandma's house and she's just got this table that goes on and on and on forever. Maybe I'm the only one that's having this vision right now, so you guys just bear with me. But it's everyone's invited. Everyone's invited to come and to sit down at the table. And, you know, these actions as a group resulted in having the goodwill of all the people. The way that they loved one another, the way that they shared life together, was attractive to other people. All the people. I think a lot of times today, if you were to ask people in our culture, what are Christians known for? Raise your hand in here if you think the first thing that they would say is love. Okay? Raise your hand in here. I mean, I don't think so either. I'm agreeing with you. Don't think that I'm not. But one of the things that we need to reclaim, believers in this room, and I know not everyone may be a believer in this room. One of the things that we need to reclaim in our culture is a sense of what we're for, not what we're against. Guys, because our culture believes that we are a bunch of hypocritical, judgmental, hateful people. And when I look around this room, I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all. But guys, when other people look in on what we do and what we believe, man, these guys, because of how they interacted in community, because of the way they loved one another, they had the goodwill of all the people. That's what God wants for us too. And that's what we here at the Orchard Church want for us as well. Daily fellowship. And this is what happened. This is how God blessed as a result. Verse 47. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. God was changing lives as a result of how this community was operating, how they were loving one another each day. God chose to show wonder through this group of people and not through individuals. And I wonder, is that how God chooses to work today? I posted a question on our Life Group Leader Facebook page, and I'm going to read you the question here. I asked all of our life group leaders if they could share about someone, a family in their group, who they have seen their life changed, or maybe our leaders have had their lives changed as a result of leading a group, and I asked permission to share this. One of our life group leaders said, "I have watched the Lord enhance my relationship with my husband. He has placed such a desire in our hearts to love and serve others in a way that has spilled over on all of us. The bond that we all share is awesome, and it has brought us to a place of spiritual maturity that glows the love of Jesus. We feel connected for life. We feel committed to each other. It has brought us meaning to continue to love God, love others, and to continue to make disciples for the kingdom. It's all for Jesus." Another life group leader said, "My husband and I have seen our new group get more comfortable with opening our hearts and lives to each other. We can definitely see the deepening of friendships and more freedom in the Holy Spirit. Deep prayer for others and for the Orchard leadership and direction." That relational connection being made has deepened their spiritual connection too. And that's what God wants for us, each and every one of us. And here at the Orchard Church, we have intentionally created our life groups as an ability for us to connect, not in chairs, but in rows, to connect deep and relationally together. I'm going to give you guys more information about how to plug into those. But constant wonder, the next blank on your page, constant wonder characterized the early church community. Constant wonder. And you know, within the early church, they didn't have buildings or bands or stages or platforms. They had love. They had true community. And while God calls us to excellence and we use these tools to deepen our relationship with Him, true community is felt around a kitchen table or around a coffee table in a living room. God is community, and He wants that for all of us. A great quote by Andy Stanley that I picked up is that the primary act of the early church was one anothering one another. The primary act of the early church was one anothering one another. I looked this up. There are, next blank on your page, 58 one anothers in the New Testament. There are 58 one anothers in the New Testament. All right, so look to your right. Look to your left. Look behind you and in front of you. Raise your hand in here if you think it's real easy to do all these one anothers, 58, with the people just around you in these rows. Guys, there's only 52 weeks in a year. If we committed to do one of these each week, we would have more than to do in a whole year. Guys, I just want to share a few of these one another's, these instructions that we've been given in the New Testament. John 13:34, to love one another, to be at peace with one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. Don't lie to one another, to pray for one another, to be hospitable to one another, to encourage and build up one another, to regard one another as more important than yourself, to forgive one another. See, next blank on your page, one anothering is really hard to do in rows, isn't it? One anothering is really, really hard to do in rows. When we move from rows in here, when we get out of the mindset that all we need to do in our spiritual relationship is to meet in here on Sunday morning and we can check that box off our list and go along our merry way, when we truly live in community together, we understand the importance of, hey, man, I need to go to my life group because my kid was up last night, true story, coughing and throwing up. That's why my wife's not here today. Who do I go to who's going through a situation just like that? Or, man, I'm having a really hard time getting my, I'm going to make sure he's not in the room, getting my middle school son to understand that grades are more important than his social life. Can I get a... Amen. All right, there we go. All right, but guys, we have created life groups with the intentionality of us being able to share life with one another in the same age and stage of life. And guys, we have life groups. We have 20 different life groups that meet every day throughout the week in different homes and communities. And guys, we want you, it's the next blank on your page, just to step into the stream of experiencing wonder through the testimony of these life group leaders, through the testimony of the early church, through what God has done in our lives. Man, we have created these environments for you to fall in love with God in here on Sunday mornings, for you to connect relationally, to further connect spiritually through loving others in life groups throughout the week. We have created opportunities to help you make disciples, which we've been called to do by Jesus Christ, through our serve teams and through our deeper classes. The people of God do life together.